Hello and welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness taking place in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in. Welcome to another podcast of Rethink Possible. I'm Bob McDowell, your host, and this week I have the pleasure of talking with Dr. Peter Olson-Skoe, who is the superintendent in West St. Paul, Mendota Heights, Eagan Area Schools, otherwise known as District 197. Thanks for being with me, Peter.
Thanks, Bob.
So today, you and I talked a little bit about principals and the principalship, and you wanted to talk to our colleagues about a topic of developing and empowering principals. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it just means making sure that principals are as effective in the role that we expect them to do on a daily basis. And part of that role is helping be leaders at the district level. So what are we doing to equip them to as equity-driven instructional leaders, as all of the things that we expect of them? And what role does the district office play in truly being servant leaders towards that outcome?
Mm-hmm. So knowing you a little bit, I know that this didn't just pop out of thin air. It's a topic that's near and dear to your heart. So I'm wondering, before we dig into depth with it, could you give everybody a little bit of your background and how you got to this point?
Sure. Well, I was a principal. Before that, I was a teacher. And then educationally, when I pursued my doctoral degree, this is what I wanted to study. I wanted to study, what principals really needed from the district office in order to do their jobs well. I mean, this topic comes from a lot of places for me. It comes from the Minnesota Principal Survey that says that principals are really struggling to do the things they want to do. The things they're in alignment with the things that I think we all know that principals can do, or the things that they can do that make the biggest impact on students, but a whole bunch of barriers get in their way. So how do we as a district office support them to overcome those barriers, support them to focus on the things that we think are most important that often get overtaken by the urgent of the moment? So it came from that principal survey. It came from my doctoral work. And more and more, I mean, I'm not the only one interested in this. The Wallace Foundation's 2021 study on how principals affect students in schools. And that was a big aha, I think, for a lot of people, because they looked at that study and they said, yeah, we always knew that teachers make a huge impact on achievement. And rightfully so. They're in front of the kids every day. This one made clear that principals make a similar impact, if not greater, in a different way, because they are the ones charged with, when they're doing their job well, an effective principal can help students gain an extra 3 months of learning in reading and math every single year. So what's doing it well? Well, that's where we get to, that's the fun. That's the thing you engage your principals in, and that's the journey that we've been on here in this school district, is to really talk about what are those things, what are those high leverage practices for principals, and what are the things that we as a district office can do in support of them to do those things that really make a difference for kids.
So how do you start? How do you get this thing going? What were your first steps?
It kind of feels like one of those things where you have been tilling the ground for years, but then finally it's this last thing that really accelerates the growth. So what's been going on for years? I mean, my doctoral research says that you need to till the ground by building relationships. Do you have solid relationships with the principals, authentic relationships where they can trust you to talk about the realities of their job without fear of being evaluated and judged in a harsh way for being honest about struggles that they're having? So that's been going on for a while, is building the culture in that manner. But what's happened more recently is that we've taken another look at our strategic framework, which you can't see in the audio version, but it's behind my head. We've taken another look at what we expect of principals to do and come to some joint understanding of that, right? I mean, you can always take a rubric off the shelf and say, this is what principals are supposed to do. But I don't believe, and our experience here would say that that's not enough or even the right thing to do. You need to build those expectations together as a team of principals working together, as a team of principals and district office working together to really make that clear as to what those high leverage practices are to make a difference for kids that we all think that should be part of the principal's daily work. So a lot of collaboration is like, it's almost you are living the thing that you want to achieve. Like, we want to achieve a place where the district office and the principals are collaborating in real and meaningful ways. Well, the best way to do that is to have the principals and the district office collaborate in real and meaningful ways. So we collaborated around what are the supports that they need from the district office. We did this. I should give a shout out to the University of Minnesota, and I should give a shout out to the University of Washington, specifically their Center for Educational Leadership. They've brought to Minnesota a collaborative of multiple districts who are working together on this very problem. There's something about the principalship that isn't working for principals. And there's something about the relationship between principals and the district office that isn't working. And how do we need to re-examine that to truly empower principals to achieve what they want to be able to achieve and what we want them to be able to achieve, which is to have the time and the energy and the focus to be equity-driven instructional leaders.
Mm-hmm. So how are you then doing that? What's the action look like as the superintendent leading this work, living this work, really diving into it and trying to put the action to the words? What does that look like to somebody from the outside?
Well, I'll give you a recent example. Let me back up. This collaboration that I was talking about, oftentimes, because it can be hard for a principal to feel that they can get away from the building, but it's critical for them to be involved in the planning. So what does it look like? It looks like me taking time to create, you know, day-long working sessions with not necessarily all the principals, but some of the principals and some of the district office leaders together working through these problems of practice. So what does it look like for me? It's listening and believing what principals are telling me about the barriers that they're facing, and then being solutions oriented with them and saying, okay, well then what are we going to do together to fix that, to overcome that barrier? So this year, that's looked like regular meetings where we have a group of six of, we got our principals and our district office members that are coming together, that we go offsite, we go to a place where other districts have brought similar teams, and we are all working together to pick something that we want to improve. So what are some of the things that we picked this year? Like teachers have collaborative teams. One of the first things that we did is we established a principal collaborative team, or a principal PLC, if you will. And that actually came out of, and where it came from is important too, because we went to the principals and we said, as a whole group, here's this thing we're defining as your job. What are the things that you don't have right now that you need in order to achieve it? So that process of asking and then taking the advice seriously. And they said, we need leadership development, but we need more time together as a group to really work through some of our problems of practice. So that was asked for. This group goes off to these regular collaborative sessions, designs it, brings it back to the principals and says, does this meet your needs? If it doesn't, we retool it. If it does, we implement it. So that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Another thing that came out of that was, how do we get better, quicker feedback from the principals to the various departments that are charged with meeting their needs. So transportation, child nutrition, after school care, special education, curriculum and instruction, all of the district departments. And we did what, for lack of a better phrase, it was speed dating, because that's what it looked like. We had tables around the outside where the different departments were sitting, and then we had principals rotating on the inside where they would get a X amount of time with each table. They were prepped ahead of time so they had some time to think about what type of feedback they would give. And then every so often they'd switch to the next and switch to the next and switch to the next till all the sites had a chance to visit with all the departments. And so that was another solution. Feedback and collaboration between principals are two things they identified, but it's almost less about exactly what they identified. It's more about the ongoing structures that says we will listen and believe what we're hearing from our principals and create systems to meet their needs. And in exchange, they are living up to the lofty aspirations that we have for principals to achieve.
So given that you've got a process in place, then what does it look like to continue to cast the vision of this out to those principals, to try and stay ahead of the what's next? What does that look like to give them a continual visioning of here's where we're headed and why?
So, I mean, this smaller group, right? So not the whole principals, but some, and some district office continue to meet and continue to try and collect input and determine what the next step is, right? So I listed a couple from this year. The next step that they identified was more time getting to each other's sites, observing teachers, practicing giving feedback, but having some intensive leadership development around that. So we went out and looked for something like that. We found the Minnesota Instructional Leaders Academy through the University of Minnesota. Again, they've been great partners. And so that's the next thing. That's our focus for the upcoming year, is to engage in that academy. So that's multiple days throughout the year of either sitting in community and doing some learning and or going out to each other's schools and doing some observation and giving each other feedback on the type of observation that we're giving. So I think how do you keep rolling it forward? You just have to keep asking the question of what's next and letting the, you know, nothing about me without me, right? Like if you can keep that drive on, this is our goal. This is the thing that we want principals to be able to know and be able to do, and we know that they have great impacts on kids. What is the skill that you need to learn, or what is the barrier that we need to knock down or build around or over or whatever? And so that's as long as you keep that conversation going with intent, that's, I think that creates this iterative cycle to be like, yep, we just did that. It had the intended outcome, or it didn't. And then we plan based on whatever we learn as we do that. I've had the most fun as I've had as a district leader this last year. I've been a superintendent. I'm going into my eighth year now. I was an assistant superintendent for 5 years before that, and this is my favorite year that I've had, and I believe my next year is going to even be even better. We are coming together as a team that believes in each other, you know, respects each other's opinions, respects each other's perspectives, and not only respects them, but like needs them from each other to do our job well. So I'm excited. I think it's, and that's maybe another key, or you know, we're having fun. We're having a lot of fun. And we from some of the social emotional learning that we've training that we've done over the course of the years, right? Like maybe not everybody, but a lot of people have heard about your the welcoming, you know, kind of the three components for an adult meeting: the welcoming, the engaging activities during the meeting, and then the optimistic closure. Well, we've tried to hold to that pretty tightly, And those welcomings, I mean, sometimes they get goofy, but they're fun. I mean, the people are really buying into, like, we will do better work if we are having fun. We will do better work if we really respect and trust and develop this relationship that we have together. And so that maybe is another piece of the puzzle.
And I think it's a huge piece. That was going to be my next question, and you've alluded to a little bit of it, is as you've gone through this, have you learned and are you using consistently any protocols? And you talked about the ones in the meetings, but is there anything that you're finding that you have to stay on top of, whether it's in meetings, out of meetings, how you're communicating, the frequency of communication, anything like that that you're finding has really been helpful throughout this process?
You know, I maybe should have gone back to this, or should have alluded to this earlier. Thank you for bringing it up, because I think one of the protocols that we have is, and actually this came out of conversation with you, Bob, is revisiting how we align what we're trying to achieve together, right? And we were struggling a little bit with our strategic framework because we weren't tying into it in a way that felt really motivating on a daily basis. And so we went back and we took a look at that. And without getting into the details, we didn't actually have to change the strategic framework itself. We just had to get more clear about what it meant to be in alignment with that. And when we did that, it just greased the skids, if you will. So now it's we can easily tie back between, okay, we are doing this because of this focus area we've committed to in our strategic alignment. And then when you do this, we believe X will happen in terms of our goals of the strategic framework. And so that's a protocol that we have better achieved, and that has been a scaffold to effective collaboration with each other. It's nothing that we haven't heard in research literature, leadership research for a long time. But there was something that just wasn't connecting, and rather than trying to skim over it or say, well, that's okay, we really dug in and said, no, we got to get clear on our alignment here, and that will facilitate everything else that we do. So I think that's one of the structures that I think we have to, like, protocols. I don't want to say things that your listeners have. I mean, right? Like, we develop norms. We revisit the norms as a team. I think it's, but more than some of those, like, technical aspects, it's being authentic. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's being authentic in your desire to hear the voices of principals and holding each other accountable as district leaders to say, well, wait a second, like, what are you saying? Right? Like, when there's a question, it's like, well, they would know best. They're in that spot. So let's believe them. And then let's figure out how we're going to adjust to meet that need. So, I think when you start opening up yourself up more to feedback, some might call it criticism, I think there can be a tendency to explain yourself, whether you call it being defensive or just trying to explain the context or whatnot. And so I think that's not necessarily a protocol, but something that I think is important to check yourself on, is to say, why am I describing my reason for doing this thing that they don't feel like is meeting their needs? Is it because of pride? Is it because, like, it's because it hurts to hear that I've been doing something that isn't meeting somebody's needs? If that's the case, then we got to move beyond that, right? Because it's not about us as individuals. It's about us as a team. At the same time, I'm not saying that there isn't the occasion, forgive the double negative, that there isn't the occasion to provide greater context. And that's, I guess that's another protocol, if you will, that I think has been helpful in that's developed through these ongoing collaborations is that there's assumptions that are made that principals know why district leaders are doing X, Y, and Z. So district leaders assume that principals get it. And it's not for lack of trying, or it's not for lack of anything. I guess it is for lack of something. It's for lack of communication, right? So, and assumptions that knowledge is there and taking the time to collaborate around it. So, I think that's helped a lot. That's where describing the context has actually helped, because if you're explicit about, okay, this is what I want to talk to you about, this is why I want to talk to you about that thing, this is why it's important for our kids, this is why it's important for you. So that as a protocol, I think, has been important. Like that's a recent addition to some of our agendas. Is specific, like every item now has a what, a why, and a context, right? So that you're not just, and it's the why that I think most people are saying that's the helpful thing. I get the what and I get the context because you're talking about that, but you're not talking about your deeper meaning or purpose for this topic that we're discussing.
So what is the, you alluded to this a little bit, what has been your work with your cabinet, right? So if one of the pieces of this is helping principals, no different than we typically try to help coach principals on, make sure your teachers understand, make sure your staff understand the why. You have a cabinet. Most superintendents have some sort of a cabinet level or director level. What's that pre-work with them in order to support this work with the principals?
Well, one of those things we haven't done yet, but that's part of our plans for this coming year. So one of the things is, okay, let me go back. Some of the things that we have done is we've just created the systems and talked to them ahead of time and said, hey, we're going to do this feedback, this speed dating thing. You're going to get a lot of feedback. Don't go into that defensive. Just accept it, right? Like, and then once you get all of it, like, and I even tell them, I don't expect you as a district leader to take every single thing that every single principal tells you and create a solution for all of them based on this one speed dating / feedback activity. But I do expect you to listen for themes or trends. And I do expect you to come back to the team and say, okay, this is what I heard, and these are the things I'm going to put in place as a result. And I did the same thing with the principals. I went to them and I said exactly the same thing. I don't expect, like, we want you to be honest, we want you to be authentic, and we're not going to create a solution for every single thing that every single person brings up in this process. But you will hear what is being done as a result of it and what the follow-through is as a result of it. So that's one thing. The other thing that I think that we've got planned for this upcoming year is I want to, not everybody on a cabinet has sat in the seat of a principal. It is a unique job that runs the gamut. I think the most surprising thing for people who haven't been in it is how little control you have over your schedule from one minute to the next. And everybody can relate to some degree, because they're like, oh, well, people dropped by my office and they just keep coming to my door and asking me if I have a minute. And that helps them connect, and maybe sympathize, but doesn't really help them, in my mind, understand or empathize with the actualities of a principal. When the person who's knocking on your door isn't knocking, it's a first grader who's slamming it open and putting their lunch all over your room, right? So, I mean, like, so there's a reality of this position that is this professional, administratively degreed position that has all that going on under it, right? And depending, elementary 500, high school 2,000 parents that at any point might drop by and say, hey, this is the solution I need you to solve right now. And so with that reality, and helping. There's a need in my mind, and I think the whole team that's been planning this, to help more of our cabinet understand more of those realities and understand the high expectations that we have for principals to achieve within those realities. So deepening of our cabinets, all of our cabinets' understanding, or executive team, whatever you, that understanding of the daily realities of the principal and the daily expectations of a principal. So we've got some sessions planned for the upcoming year that are intended to get at that.
So I have to believe, given the work and the actions that have taken place over the last, particularly the last year, you've noticed some changes. You've noticed some successes. You've seen some things. Are you able to articulate any of those to listeners as far as what you're seeing as outcomes from this process?
Yes. I mean, we can talk about achievement gains. We've seen those. We can talk about gap closures. We've seen those. But I think the thing that feels palpably different is the Tuesday morning principal meeting. And because that's when we all come together, right? We come together once a week. Everybody's got their schedule and their flow, but ours is weekly on Tuesday mornings. And the way that we come together, and the way that people are immediately, even before the official agenda gets underway, are talking with each other, and the way that people are engaging in the discussion topics that we're putting on that meeting, and the topics that we're putting on that meeting in the first place to discuss, and how we're we feel like a team. As opposed to individuals with a common purpose. Like we lean on each other, we listen to each other, we believe each other. I think that's the outcome that we like coming to work. We like, you know, like, we like spending time with each other. We, you know, like, it's that, that's the most, when I say it's the most, the best year that I've had professionally, I think it's like, there's the saying that culture eats strategy for breakfast. This work, though one may characterize it as a strategy, this work is simultaneously strategic in that it's giving us more skills to be instructional leaders in all of our roles, but it's also very culture-based, because it's changing who we are and how we work together. And that would be the outcome that I would say is significantly different. You know, and I understand. I mean, we had principals that to be fair, I'm sure there's times that they still don't love the meetings and being away from their buildings, because I get it. You're going back to all sorts of things that you weren't able to manage in your absence when you go back to the building. So I get it. But I would say that it is to a much lesser degree that people dread leaving their buildings and coming to the district office, and now see it as something that's valuable and meaningful and helpful in them fulfilling their roles and helping their school achieve and helping their school climate improve.
Well, that's awesome. So last question I have for the folks that are new to the superintendent chair, maybe moving into a different role, things like that. What would be the one, two, or three things that you would share as advice if they were planning to embark on this work with their principals or other leaders in their district?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my dissertation so directly. Just kidding. In reality, one of the main things, so just a quick reminder, my dissertation went and talked to principal supervisors, whether that was assistant supes or superintendents and principals, and then talk to both groups about what is really needed. What do principals really need to meet these to meet these high expectations that we have for them? What does the district office need to do to help them meet the high expectations? And one of the biggest, most powerful themes that came out of there was this idea of co-creation. And that's what I think we've been doing all with the, with that's the umbrella under which I could fit a lot of the things that I've been talking about. Don't create district systems without principals at the table. And if they really can't be at the table, then without significant input in some way, shape, or form. Like getting the principals to co-create, first to even determine the need for a new system and deciding which system is needed next, have them at the table deciding that, have them at the table creating the solution. And yes, the obvious response to that, or the obvious barrier that people might say is, well, that's more time away from a job that I already feel like I don't have enough time to do for the principals. And while that's true, you don't have to bring every principal to every decision, but you have to have at least a sampling or a principal, if that's all that you can muster, involved in the decision-making process. So one key takeaway would be co-create as much as you can with district office and principals at the table. Maybe my other recommendation even before that, and this is the years of tilling the soil that came out of my dissertation too, is you need to understand the job of the principals. It is like this, the study that I referenced from the Wallace study, they were bold in saying, there is no better place for you to invest your time and energy than in developing principals. It will have the most bang for your buck in terms of student outcomes. Okay, well, if that's true, then one of the building blocks to that for you as a district leader to actually, for you as a superintendent to actually be a support to them that came out in my research with them was as the simple concept of trust. They have to believe to their bones that you're in it with them. They have to believe that you care for them, that you know about them. And I will say know about them both personally and professionally. Personal counts more than you might know at times to really be able to speak to something that's going on in somebody's life. But also know about them professionally and know what's really going on in their school. So that would be my second tip is create, number one. Number two, invest time in relationship building with your principals one-on-one. I'm going to leave it at that because I think if you do those two things, you can make a whole lot of headway.
Fantastic. And with that, we are out of time, Peter. Thank you so much for being with me today and talking through how you are not just suggesting of developing and empowering principals, but you've actually taken on this journey of investing your time in developing and empowering your principals through action, as well as work. So once again, this is Bob McDowell with Rethink Possible, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Peter Olson-Skoll, who is the superintendent of School District 197 here in Minnesota. Thank you so much for being with me, Peter.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible with Bob McDowell, a joint effort between CESO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.